Good morning and welcome once again to Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210. Last month I made some references to the fact that Fred and I were making changes to the show kind of going forward in this new year. And one of those changes is going to be occurring after today. And that is that the Power Talk 1210 radio broadcast, live over the air, terrestrial radio aspect of Power Talk 1210 will be ending. So after this Saturday, we'll only be doing a streaming over the internet live show. And really, a lot of it is due to the high cost, prohibitive cost of using and leasing a radio signal. So Power Talk decided to become an internet radio company completely. For those who listen online, the free app, the Power Talk app is out there. Nothing's going to change for you. For this show, you probably are not going to see any difference at all with respect to the ability to access it, other than you won't have it on live radio. And that new change probably isn't going to impact most people. I mean, some people, non-techies, it might have some impact, but we'll help you make that transition. I know a couple people out there that are a little bit... Dave's over here raising his hand, so he's still hanging around. But there's people out there that maybe haven't quite made that technology transition, but we'll help you out. And I mean, in reality, what we're doing now, live streaming, is effectively the same capability, and we can reach a lot further than the terrestrial radio with the internet and around the world. And I asked my wife, I said, well, how are you listening to the show? Hopefully she does listen, and she does. But I said, how do you listen to the show? Do you listen to it on the radio at home or on your phone? And her response was, well, I listen to it on the radio on my phone, right? So I said, no, you got to give me the right answer here. Do you listen to it on the radio or your phone? And her viewpoint is they're one and the same. And I think that's kind of where things are really going for a lot of people. There is no difference to them, especially a lot of the younger people. What's a radio? I think in some cases, because they listen to everything through their phone. So it's probably for most people, like I said, 90% of listeners, it's not going to really change anything. You'll be able to stream us on your computer, just as you are today, your tablet or your phone. And like I say, with the phone, you can download the Power Talk app and be able to listen to it on your phone anytime you want. Tablets, the same thing. And you'll be able to still access the content on the computer, powertalk1210.com. And for our show, Solomon on Blast, solomononblast.com, where we've got all of our 2016 content up there. So you can listen to these shows whenever you want to at your own convenience if you can't listen to it live from 11 to 12. We're still going to do the commercials because we have sponsors that understand the new medium that we're working with, and they know that that's the medium where people are listening. So they're going to continue with sponsors. If you want to sponsor the show, you can always email me, solomon@solomononblast.com for the show. We're going to be doing more social media, and that's kind of dragging me into being more technical. For somebody that's an engineer, electrical, software engineer, by education and whatnot, it's not a big deal. It's just sometimes you get lazy and don't want to have to keep up with everything. But change is good, and it'll improve access and our ability to connect with people out there. So we're going to be doing a lot more social media side, Twitter, Facebook, and it allows for a lower cost for those that do want to help sponsor the show. So we're still going to be part of the Power Talk family, And the reason is because the message, the power to think for yourself, is really what we are talking about here on Solomon on Blast also. That is kind of the premise behind Solomon on Blast. You've got to think for yourself, and here's the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that Solomon provides to give you that ability to think for yourself. We continue to have the flexibility. We can actually put out additional shows, do special events, all this live streaming, or even the podcasting is going to help in doing that. We'll be able to look at doing some videos. I don't know if I have a face made for TV or not, but looking at maybe some of what I'm starting to call Solomon shorts, and those aren't shorts that Solomon wore when he was back in the day, but maybe just short four or five minute videos of specific topics that Solomon addresses, because the depth of Solomon's writings are extensive. When you look at it from the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, 31 chapters in Proverbs, 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes, maybe somewhere around 600 various verses covering all aspects of life. And obviously in that is a lifetime of knowledge and understanding and wisdom that can be used. So we're continuing with what we're doing. We plan on looking more at Solomon himself. He's an interesting character. He was wise, but he was not perfect. So there's some aspects of Solomon's life that we want to dig into and look at. Other things that occur in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs that just sometimes you go, where did that come from? One example, Ecclesiastes 10:1, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. So some of these things, it on the very surface, you're just kind of like, what is this guy saying here? But when you begin to really consider them, and as Solomon says in the beginning, to read and understand his wisdom, there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom behind what he's saying. But I guess I've never been around the perfumer's ointment when he was making it, and why dead flies happened to hanging around there. Maybe they liked the smell of it and that attracted them. But obviously from this verse, the dead flies are not good for the ointment. So you don't want on this weekend, Valentine's Day weekend, to go out and buy that ointment from the guy that had the dead flies in it, obviously. So keep an eye out for those. And just because we're changing the delivery a little bit in that we won't be doing the radio, live terrestrial radio, we aren't changing the message at all. The message still is the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of Solomon to combat this confused culture, because it really is a confused culture. So we're going to keep doing it. We'll be back with a little more of Solomon on Blast right after these messages.
Say you don't know me, I recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place. Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways eating up the night. Marconi plays the mamba, listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on
someone always playing corporation games. Who cares? They're always changing corporation names. We just want to dance here. Someone stole the stage. They call us irresponsible. Write us off the page.
All right, we're back with Solomon on Blast. Well, you'll still be able to listen to us. Just won't be on the real live radio, but you'll be listening to us on the streaming one. What I call, and what is called, really, software-defined radio. That terminology came out a number of years ago when there were various radio frequencies that were a single electronics unit was trying to pick up on. And a lot of it had to do with how the government was dealing with being able to provide communication for the military. And so they were looking at how do you come up with a single packaged radio that would allow you to receive FM signals, receive signals off of satellites, because these guys are out in the middle of nowhere and have to be able to access satellite signals. And be able to switch different satellites, different frequencies and everything. So they came up with the term software-defined radio. And I think that really is what we're seeing. The military had been doing it for a number of years, but from our aspect, that's the way we're going 100%. Is software-defined radio is kind of what we're heading for with Power Talk and Solomon on Blast. So, like I said, just because we're changing the delivery a little bit, we aren't changing the message. Because, like I said, it's a confused culture, and it is, to an extent, a war that we're dealing with as far as Solomon on Blast goes. A war, a culture war. We're dealing with a culture that is fighting the truth of what Solomon's wisdom provides with a lot of nonsense that's out there. And just so everybody knows, there is no Pastor Fred today. He's not sitting in the studio across from me. He had another engagement, so he's not going to be with us today, but he will be back next week when we continue. So just in case you wondered, all right, am I going to be talking and not let Fred talk this morning? No, I'm letting Fred talk when he can. If he wants, he can talk, but we're just not going to turn his mic on. So, it's definitely a culture war out there. And it's also a debate. And a debate that we have to be able to ultimately win in terms of overcoming the confusion of the culture. There's always going to be debates. Some of them are significant, and some of them aren't. The debate of whether the stories of King Solomon and his father, King David, ever existed still go on. Some say that there was no great kingdom of Solomon and base it on theories of what is found or what isn't found in archaeological sites. There was a article a number of years ago that said the Bible as history flunks new archaeological tests. And they say that archaeologists working at excavation sites, like in different excavation sites in northern Israel, say that no evidence has been found to confirm biblical stories about a united monarchy ruling over a large area from Jerusalem or about wanderings of the Jews in the desert during the Exodus. The Bible account of King David is so well known that most people, obviously, who have never even read the Bible probably have an idea of his greatness, and King Solomon as well. Everybody understands, you know, the wealthiest man to have ever lived and wisest. People know that, but a lot of times there's this debate that did that real kingdom ever exist? David, scripture says, was such a superb military leader that he not only captured Jerusalem, but went on to make it the seat of an empire. He united the kingdoms of around Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, and that really set off this era, which was further expanded with his son, King Solomon, and influenced the entire Middle East. Yet, this particular article says, what if the Bible account doesn't fit the evidence in the ground? What if David's Jerusalem was really a rural backwater and the greatness of Israel and Judah lay far in the future? And they say that such assertions are coming from some authorities on Israel's archaeology who speak from the perspective of recent finds. And one particular person, Israel Finkelstein, who was the director of Institute of Archaeology at Tel Aviv University, said, the way I understand the finds, there's no evidence whatsoever for a great united monarchy which ruled from Jerusalem over large territories. And he says, in addition, he says, King David's Jerusalem was no more than a poor village at the time. So that's one view of it. That's one part of the debate. And then there are others that look at it in a totally different aspect. Archaeologist Joseph Garfinkel of Hebrew University was excavating a site known as my Hebrew. I need Fred today for the Hebrew pronunciation of all these names. Herbet Kiyafa, located in the Judean hills not far from the modern-day city of Beit Shemesh. So Garfinkel says the central finds presented in from his digs were two model shrines, one of clay and one of stone. So these are small models of what is described in the Bible as King Solomon's temple. He says these individual models echo the temple architecture and strengthen the claim that the city that stood at that site that he's excavating 3,000 years ago was inhabited by the Israelites and was part of the kingdom ruled from Jerusalem by the biblical King David. And since Kiyafa was first unveiled in 2008, it has become considered one of the most important ongoing excavations in the world of biblical archaeology. Garfinkel says the existence of a fortified city at the site around 1000 BC supports the idea that a centralized kingdom existed around that time as described in the Bible. So the debate has two sides. There's those that say this is just a little backwoods town, and then there's those that are describing archaeological finds that indicate that this was a great city. Another particular interesting find, and this one kind of maybe gives you an insight into why some of these people don't want to say that that the kingdom really existed. There was a carved pillar discovered near Bethlehem that they say may be linked to the biblical King of Kings, David himself, or perhaps validates the scope of how big Solomon's kingdom was, if they ever get around to digging it up, that is. This particular article talks about an Israeli tour guide, Benjamin Troper, who thought he was the first to discover this major historical artifact, only to find out that authorities had known about the pillar for decades and had been keeping it a secret all the time. The Israeli Antiquities Authority told him, "That's great. Now shut up." He says, "When I realized the significance of the pillar, I told my boss, who spoke with the IAA." Troper, who works at the educational field school, told Fox News. The IAA then told him, "That's great, now shut up." Troper may have stumbled across further proof of the real-life world behind the biblical stories related in the Old Testament. This pillar, 2,800-year-old stone pillar, kind of could help locate those legends of the kingdom on a map and connect the whole modern country of Israel with the historical roots of of Judaism and the Jews, which is what a lot of the people say doesn't really exist. But the problem they're having with regards to this particular pillar, and they believe it was obviously a significant pillar when it weighed 50 tons. From just measurements and approximations, it's carved out of stone and everything. They say it's due to the complexities of the whole Arab-Israeli relations, and the find is, because of that, the finds being ignored, experts say, hushed up to avoid a major political battle over centuries of debate concerning who has more legitimate claims to the Holy Land. The site's located in the West Bank, not within the official borders of Israel. It's more problematic to excavate these than inside Israel, as Professor Garfinkel mentions. In a carefully worded statement to Fox News, the IA acknowledged the discovery of the pillar, but would not discuss the matter further, expressing their concern over the unavoidable relationship between archaeology and the Middle East conflict. So the debate's there. It's always going to be there with regards to whether or not Solomon's temple existed or whether it was a backwoods village, as some of these people seem to think. And the bigger debate over the truth that Solomon provides and the confusion within our culture today is going to continue. So because of that, Solomon on Blast is going to continue providing at least one aspect of that debate, one side of it, and to try and influence and get to win the debate. But maybe just winning the debate isn't really enough. So maybe it is for the presidential candidates, but maybe in our particular case, just winning isn't going to be enough. We'll come back after these commercial breaks with more of Solomon on Blast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart.
All right, we're back with more Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210. And if you do want to call in, 750-7456, be taking calls if you want to give your opinions and input on some of the discussion that we're having here today, or that I'm having because Fred is out. So, as I said before the break, sometimes it's really not always about winning the debate. That is not always enough. And you see that with the presidential debates. Just because somebody wins a debate doesn't mean they're going to get elected. A lot of times people think that the formal debate's going to settle the issues. And that's good enough if all you want to do is, you know, listen to it and make your decision off of that. But people who get involved in debates sometimes really don't think that. They don't think about what they really want the audience to do after the debate is over. And sometimes, you know, maybe 80% of the people that listen to the debate, it really doesn't matter what they do. but the other 20% are the ones that you're really trying to influence. And that's probably true even with Solomon on Blast and what we're trying to do with regards to the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of Solomon, because you can't fight something with nothing. So you've got to have some amount of ammunition if you're going to go into this culture war, this debate with the secular world, the culture that doesn't use the wisdom of Solomon. You have to have some kind of ammunition. And it's the debate that we have is also a way of, in reality, it's a way of recruiting followers. You see that with the presidential campaign. They're trying to recruit followers to their way of thinking and to get them elected. So if there really is no opportunity to recruit the followers, why even bother getting involved in the debate? And what we're trying to do with the wisdom and knowledge of and understanding of Solomon is to get you involved in the debate, to get you an opportunity to think about these things, the important things in life, and have ammunition when you go out there and are faced with a confused culture that is probably a lot less knowledgeable and obviously a lot less wisdom than what Solomon has. We're talking about dealing with a culture that's maybe 40, 50 years old, at least in our country, of this belief that there isn't any real objective truth. Everything's subjective. And so having basically 4,000 years of Solomon's wisdom and the wisdom of all of the Jewish tradition gives you a lot of ammunition to combat 40 years or so of a socialist and communist or even secular, just plain secular culture that's out there. And so when you look at the book of Proverbs, the whole structure of it and everything, a lot of people really aren't aware that these Proverbs are really more so parables. They're sayings that use a lot of natural, normal illustrations to show comparisons to a moral, social, or even a religious principle. And like I said, with regards to the particular verse from Ecclesiastes that dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor, that's just a pretty significant visual of what dead flies in an ointment do. But the other side of that is really the parable of it. The information is, so does a little folly or foolishness to one respected for wisdom and honor. So when you have somebody that has a lot of respect, a lot of honor, and people see that wisdom in them, when that person acts foolishly, it's basically equated by Solomon to a bunch of dead flies stinking up the perfume that you're buying for your wife on Valentine's Day. So there's a lot of parables involved in the book of Proverbs. So the use of these proverbs or parables is intended to portray a lot of the truths that we're trying to talk about, spiritual truths, through just ordinary use of everyday items that you would say, okay, I understand that. Fred made the comment a couple weeks ago about, you know, the fool returns to his foolishness as the dog does to the vomit. Well, that's pretty basic. Everybody can understand. If you've had a dog, what dogs do is what dogs do. So a lot of these parables are in there to really, like I say, give you ordinary life definitions to help explain the deeper side of the spiritual aspect of it. And the result of really looking at these and investigating them gives you a revelation of a lot of the, what I guess you could say, dark sayings, as Solomon says in one particular verse, that the ordinary person, those out in the cult, in this confused culture, may not be aware of. There's more, or to just put it in the simple terms, there's often more to the proverb than meets the eye. And that's what we want to do each and every show, is bring to you those things that exist within these proverbs that more than just meet the eye. The first six verses of the whole book of Proverbs really brings this out. It's to understand a proverb, the parable and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. So this means that it's not, the book of Proverbs doesn't only contain the proverbs originated by King Solomon himself, because it says the words of the wise, and the, in this particular case, the word of the wise is plural. So it's not just Solomon. It's a compilation of the wisdom that Solomon achieved from others that were around him, and what the wisdom that God gave him, because wisdom just doesn't happen automatically. It's not one day I wake up and suddenly I have wisdom. It takes input, it takes, as Solomon says, knowledge and the application of that knowledge to understand and to eventually have that wisdom. So I think a lot of times we may think that Solomon's wisdom just, you know, when he was speaking with God and he asked for wisdom, that by a snap of his fingers, God gave him wisdom and he was the wisest kid in the land at that point in time. But it really isn't. It takes time to get that wisdom. So a lot of the different people that are kind of behind the words of the wise are the people that came before Solomon. All those are mentioned in the Bible. You can look through the prophets and a lot of the ancient philosophers that lived at that time. Joseph was very wise. He was ruler over Pharaoh's kingdom. When he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, you know, Pharaoh admitted, "There was none so discreet and wise as you." A lot of the, like I say, these wise men, wasn't all just Solomon in an instant getting his wisdom. So it takes time to acquire it. And as you continue to follow us on Solomon on Blast and we address these different topics, we're hoping that you'll gain that knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And there's a lot of different people from the ancient past who were considered wise men. The question is, did their wisdom really survive the ages? And I think from the aspect of the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, obviously Solomon's wisdom has survived the ages. So if you're looking for wisdom from you know, Beyonce or Jay-Z out there, maybe you're looking in the wrong direction and need to be looking more along the lines of what Solomon has provided. And I think when you look at the whole compilation of Solomon's wisdom, it is really a compilation of a lot of people that had been provided the direction and knowledge and wisdom throughout the centuries leading up to it. So I think we have a much better arsenal when we go out there to combat the confused culture that's out there. In Proverbs, or in Ecclesiastes 12:9, Solomon says that the Proverbs were accumulated or written by him, were set in order, and had been sought out by Solomon for the express purpose of teaching the people of Israel the necessary knowledge that they needed. And in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, he does point out that this is for the young man, but at that point in time, that probably was the sole target of his writings, but it really is for everybody throughout the ages. And it's not just for the young man, although probably in our society and our culture today, that is probably the one that needs it the most, is the young men out there, because of the fact that they're not getting the knowledge and understanding and wisdom anywhere else. So having the book of Proverbs as kind of your basis for your knowledge gives you a head start against a lot of the rest of the world out there. The other aspect of the Proverbs, he says these are acceptable words and words of truth, which are upright and full of righteous teaching. So since Solomon himself had set them in order, this shows that they weren't just arranged haphazardly, really. They're a selection of better sayings of the wise ones. Actually, Solomon himself had said in 1 Kings, he says he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, like I said at the beginning, the book of Proverbs is 31 chapters. Even if you figure on average 30 per chapter, you're still only looking at 900. So somewhere there's another 2,100 proverbs out there. Solomon obviously was pretty selective, even of the 3,000 that he spoke, when he parsed them down to the 600 or 900 that are in the book of, yeah, why did I say 600? 30 times 30 is 900. Okay, so 900. Sorry. My math was a little off there. So the 900 verses that exist within the book of Proverbs. So he's already done the work of really narrowing it down and isolating it to the best of the best, I guess you could say, with regards to the Proverbs. And that's what we're going to continue to do as we go forward in our radio show, or our whatever you want to call it, the podcast. And we'll come back with a little more of Solomon on Blast and some specific application of his wisdom for this weekend. We'll be back with more in just a minute. All right, we're back with final segment of Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210. And you'll be listening to us going forward, powertalk1210.com, solomononblast.com. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Twitter, Solomon on Blast, Facebook. We'll have I gave out the email address, solomon@solomononblast.com, if you want to send in any specific request of something you want to hear about, maybe a book that you've read that you thought might be a good discussion. There's one that I'm reading right now, the the Hebrew impact on Western civilization. And it is really a very interesting book. It was written actually back in 1951, so just after Israel became a nation. And yet the authors start way back with the beginning of the whole Hebrew culture, and they have had a significant impact on the culture for thousands of years. So to just dismiss it and say that they were a little backwoods village when it comes to King David and King Solomon is kind of foolish, but that's kind of the way some of these people do approach their view of things. So all of these proverbs, putting them in the Bible and providing this rule of for life, it was to some aspects it was designed for those who were going to rule from Solomon's viewpoint, his son who he expected to rule, but really more importantly, I think it was designed for those who want to rule over their own lives, and that's kind of the real basis for it, is a textbook, the workbook for life. Now, it is Valentine's Day tomorrow, so I wanted to at least bring up a little bit of Solomon's wisdom associated with Valentine's Day. And I was kind of prompted me when Pastor Warner, who's been on the show before, tweeted out, I'm not a wet blanket, but Valentine's Day celebrates or promotes a distorted model of romantic love and puts a lot of people under real pressure. And that is true. Trying to find that perfect gift, trying to avoid that perfume that has the dead flies in it, like I said earlier. But Solomon addresses it. He says in Ecclesiastes 3:8, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So if you really look at that, that's really at least for on a one-day basis, Valentine's Day is the time to love and a time for peace. Putting away that time to hate and a time for war, that can go on other days. But at least a reminder that there is that specific time, and we need to look at that. Now, the other aspect of the whole Valentine's Day thing is obviously love. And Proverbs, again, Solomon addresses it where he says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them about your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And that's really what our viewpoint should be, is that it's not just one day, that it's for our whole life and all of our relationships. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. So it's more than just the one day of Valentine's Day. It's for every day and for our entire life. He also gives us a view of maybe for those people that are alone on Valentine's Day. He gives us a view of maybe who you, if you're a young man out there, or should be looking for. Obviously, Proverbs 31 is that whole description of what Solomon is in his wisdom is saying is the perfect woman. So read through Proverbs 31 if you're a young man out there that's looking for love. It's a good description of what you should be looking for. Now, in his infinite wisdom, he also points out that there's another love that you should be looking for. He says, do not, in Proverbs 4, he says, do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. So Solomon has a lot to provide when it comes to talking about love and our whole viewpoint of what in the confused culture is love and what is really love. Solomon reminds us when it comes to our wives. He says in Ecclesiastes 9, he says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. And I think that's probably the best advice you could take from Solomon, is to live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, because he's pointing out, maybe a little cynically, that life is a lot of vanity, and we know he addresses it that way. Now, maybe if you're looking for that perfect Valentine's Day card, you know, Hallmark's got lots of cards out there. I think the statistics on Hallmark's had somewhere around 1,400 unique cards specifically for Valentine's Day. So they're putting a lot of effort into creating a Valentine's Day card. Obviously, those people out there selling the roses love Valentine's Day because they're making a lot off of it. But if you consider one of the other books of Solomon that we haven't really addressed a lot, and that is the Song of Songs. Solomon is accredited with the Song of Songs. And if you were to go through that particular book in the Bible, the Song of Songs, you could probably come up with your own very unique Valentine's Day card specifically for your loved one, your significant other, and come up with something that probably most of the rest of the people out there don't have. But as we always want to do, we want to remember that there is one greater than Solomon, and that is Christ. And his commentary was, there is no greater love than to give up your life for a friend. And that's what we want to remember, is always be ready to give up our lives for our friends, no matter what. Until next week, keep thinking wisely.